worshiping our great God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to hymn number 11, O Worship the King, all glorious above. Let us stand together as we worship God. If you're physically able to, if you're not physically able to, please, you can stay seated. For those that are physically able to, let's stand and worship the Lord. Number 11 in our hymn book. Number 11.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above.
And the way of the fool, but to live for God and worship Him daily is a joy and a blessing. And as we get closer and closer to that day when we go to meet the Lord forever, for all eternity, let us bow together in prayer this morning. Let us pray for those around the country who are dealing with floods and things like that. Let's pray for our missionaries. And it's good to have Pastor Logan back with us. He was down with his family for a family reunion down in Florida and Orlando. We're glad that God brought him back safely to us yesterday and that he's here today to help us in the bus ministry, picking up people from Atlantic City this morning. And we're just so thankful for him. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Amen. All right, amen. What a blessing to be together today. It's good to see some visitors that we haven't seen in a while, so we are glad that you are here with us. Let us continue praising the Lord. Hymn number 291. 291 in the blue hymn book, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the higher, the upward way. 291.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. So praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on the stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Let my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Let's, as we think about these words, who has a testimony for us how this week the Lord helped you to stay on higher ground, how he helped you to make the right decisions in the Christian life, and as a result yielded a blessing for you? Who'd like to share a testimony like that? How you stayed on, stayed true to God, and sure enough, he blessed you, or something you're thankful to God for today. We want to take a few testimonies. Yes, Brother Joe.
Well, I'm praying mightily this week, and God did answer my prayer. He really did. I mean, I faltered, and that was over for a little while. But you know what? I prayed to God, and he brought me through it.
Amen. Amen. It's good to have you back. Who else? Yeah, Eric.
I thank God for being here. Seeing all these people here and not playing some. They just like a family to me.
Amen. Amen.
Here,
amen. Anyone else want to share a blessing? James. Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share a blessing? Jimmy.
I'm glad that after a couple of years, my little brother Tom is finally getting married.
Okay, amen. So let's pray for Jimmy in a couple weeks. Let's sing that third verse.
I want to live above the world, though Satan's doubts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, faith on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. A higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Let's have the ladies and girls sing the first two lines, and the men and boys sing the second two.
I want to still haven't I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground.
Everyone,
Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on having stable land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Let us turn into our Bibles at this time for a scripture reading. Psalm 69, 21 through 25. Psalm 69, 21 to 25. And we'll have Pastor Logan come and read that for us if he can, and share a little testimony about his week down in Florida and anything else he wants to share with us. Psalm 69, and we have a Bible up here for you. Psalm 69, verse 21 to 25. And also Proverbs 4:10-14 as well.
All right, let us turn to Proverbs 6-9.
Psalm 6-9.
And may we stand, beginning with verse 20 of the Psalms?
21 through 25.
Okay, we're going to do this responsibly, so make sure that you have that, Psalm 6-9. And we're going to begin with verse 21. I'll read the first, and you read the second, and so on. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we all have it. I see some pages still turning, so I'll wait a bit. Amen. Song 6-9, beginning with verse 21. Song 6-9, beginning with verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink.
Let their table become a snare for them, and that which should become a trap.
That their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake.
Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them.
Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tent.
For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded.
Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness.
Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous.
For I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high.
I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock that has horn and hoof.
The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek for God.
For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners.
Let the heaven and earth praise him, and everything that moveth therein.
For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession together.
The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein.
Okay, we go to Proverbs, is it about
to? Yeah, Proverbs 4:10-14.
Proverbs 4, one book over, Proverbs 4, and we're going to go 1-10, and again we'll do responsive. Proverbs 4, 1-10, that's the next book.
4:10-14.
Oh, Proverbs 4:10-14. Proverbs 4:10-14. Proverbs 4:10-14. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many.
I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths.
When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. But when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble.
Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life.
Altogether,
enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God this morning. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Did the Lord wake you up this morning?
Amen.
We sang a song about that. Jesus woke me up this morning, and I'm glad. Glad about the fact that we woke up this morning. I get an old guy say once that he gets up in the morning and he reads the obit and see if his name is in it. If it's not, he lays down and goes back to sleep. Well, you didn't do that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. You came out to church. And it's so blessed to come out to church. You know, as coming to your church, you're not only a blessing to yourself, but do you know you're a blessing to your neighbor? You're a blessing to our nation. I believe that God blesses this nation because of the many churches that dot the countryside of our country. As I was traveling in Florida last week, one of the things that you always notice, especially in the South, is that there are churches everywhere. They're not large churches. Most of them, the last statistics I read said the average church in America is less than 250 people. But I thank God for those churches. Because men's and women's go there, preachers stand in the pulpit, the gospel is given. And they are persuaded, hopefully, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, we often talk about how we are persuaded when we look at TV, how we are, whether the programs are good or bad, that person, that audience that they have, they are looking to change your mind. And that's what Pastor does when he gets up here. He's wishing to change your mind, that you may have the mind of Christ, that you may live a dedicated, separated, consecrated, spirit-filled life, that you might be glorious and happy to just wake up in the morning.
Amen.
Just to wake up. As we was coming to church this morning on the van, somebody said that they're glad to be in the house of God again. Isn't that
Amen.
Great? To walk into the church. We sing a song about that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Forget tomorrow. Today is important. Even the Bible tells us, forget tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problem of its own. But to live today, that you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he sees you, he's going to look at you. And you're hoping to hear him say, well done. Aren't you looking to hear that voice?
Amen.
To say, well done. After all the trials and tribulation we go through here on this earth, it's good to hear God say, well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that great?
Amen.
To get up in the morning, to come to church, to hear pastor preach the word, and then to hide it in your heart, as the Bible says, that we may not sin against him. As pastor preaches this morning, hopefully that you will hide these words in your heart. As I was teaching the Sunday school class this morning, one of the things I brought out to them was the fact that we not only need to hear God's word, to memorize God's word, but we need to hide it in our heart. Because sometimes when you out there and you're being tempted, you don't have the Bible. It has to be here. Okay? It has to be here. That's why the Bible says, hide the word in your heart.
Amen.
There's a reason for that. And then after you hide it there, you have to give it to others.
Amen.
You used to be an old saying, keep the faith. No, don't keep it. Give it away.
Amen.
It's the one thing that you can give away and still have more of it.
Amen.
In fact, the more you give away, the more you have.
Amen.
Isn't that great this morning?
Amen.
God bless you this morning. Oh, it's good to look over an audience of people that seem to be eager to hear the word of God.
Amen.
I mean, preachers, and I'm sure pastors, one of those, they get happy when they look and see people that are sitting on the edge of the seat waiting for the next word.
Amen.
And that's what we do as preachers.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. God bless your family this morning.
Amen.
Go back and tell them that didn't come, oh, what a service you missed today.
Amen.
And maybe they'll come too. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Praise God. So tell us how your trip to Florida was. How was it?
Well, amen. I said to some of them on the band that I wasn't here last Wednesday. I wasn't at the center that we go to. I said I was in Florida. And Sister William said, oh, shut up, you weren't in Florida. So you see, I was in Florida. I told him, I tried to get Mickey to come back with me, but he didn't want to come. He wanted to stay there with Minnie. So if you get a chance, take time out to relax. You know, sometimes we can get so busy with the work, we forget the Lord of the work. Amen? That's so important. We need to take time out to relax. Jesus did that. He said to his disciples, come aside, let us rest a while.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You this morning.
Amen. Yes, I'm looking forward to our family's going away in August, so look forward to hopefully that'll work for Pastor Logan that week so he can preach God's word for us. And looking forward to, yeah, we all need that recharging of the batteries. Yeah, just to spend some time away and even just spending time at home or just at leisure doing something. Not spending time vacation from God, but vacation with God. Don't forget God on your vacation, or else your vacation will be a misery. It won't be a blessing. All right, just by way of announcements, we want to turn to our bulletins. Anyone need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to have some visitors. And church members that we haven't seen in a while. So we are so glad that you are here. We want to welcome you back. It's good to have all of our friends and loved ones. Good to have Janie back with us. We saw Janie just about every week at Atlantic, and then all of a sudden she left, and then we were like, oh, where'd Janie go? We missed her so much, so we're glad that Janie came to church today. Welcome, Janie. We're glad to have you with us. Then it's good to have Julia here with us. Glad to see Julia. And you'll have to show us how to get your VBT video from last year, because we want to show that again. So you have to get that for us so we can play that on a future Sunday. Okay, get us all hyped up. She did a great job on the video last year. Then it's good to have the Jacoby family with us, senior and junior. And welcome. And then on this side, it's good to have Sister Eunice and Peggy here with us, and Laura. Julia somewhere around, too? No, okay. All right, we're glad to have Peggy and Laura here with us today, and glad you're here. And then it's good to have Brother Dave. Do you want to introduce your family or friends for us? Oh, okay.
These are our friends from Blessed Baptist Church. Alan, Christian Flua, and George Ann.
Amen. Welcome, Alan and George Ann from Bethel Baptist. We saw another one of your families on Wednesday night, the Rains and all their troop. They just about filled the church with their family, so that was great. So we had a well-stocked Wednesday night, and glad, and we're praying for your church, we're praying for Bethel, praying for Pastor Penichetti and the new building, wherever God would have you, we're praying with you. So we're glad you're here this morning. And all right, just by way of other announcements, there's a lot of different bulletins out there today, so there's a nice mixture. Tonight, come on back tonight, we're having a farewell service tonight for Kenny and Dawn Vandenberg, as well as Kaylin Richardson. Kaylin's leaving on Saturday, this coming Saturday, back down to Florida with her mom and stepdad, and so brothers and sisters. So let's pray for Kaylin as she goes Saturday, and then Kenny and Dawn later this month. You still don't have a definite date, right? Okay, but sometime later this month. So we want to send them off with a great farewell party tonight. I'll be preaching on a little bit different message for a farewell service, but I believe it's important. Why hardships and suffering in the Christian life? 9 Bible reasons. So come on out tonight for a good message from God's Word to help remind us, wait, this is why God's helping to do some of the things He's doing. Encouraging message on hardships and suffering in the Christian life, because we all face it on a daily or weekly basis. Then, right after the service today, we're having our VBT volunteer planning meeting. So if you can help us with VBT, just please stay right with us after the service so we can line up a few things and get us all on the same page. Then Father's Day is next Sunday, June 16th. Invite your dad out with you to church next Sunday. Invite a special man in your life out to church next Sunday. Bring your son, bring your daughter, bring someone special to you and invite them out. We have special things for all the men and teen boys and boys that come next week. Give them a special gift. And I'm going to be preaching a message on why it's a blessing to be a godly man and a father. That the world is bashing men right now. It's they go through phases. You know, the unsaved world, they go through phases of this and that and the other. Well, right now, it's a bad thing to be a man, according to the world. But you know what? God's Word says otherwise. God's Word says it's a blessing to be a godly man, and it's a great privilege. And so we should enjoy and relish our role as godly men, just like it's a blessing to be a godly lady, and there's different roles there. And so let us come back next week for that. Then, Vacation Bible Time is coming up in a few weeks, July 1st through the 5th. Please make plans for staying with us that week. We have a kids program and a teen program. So 7th through 12th graders, don't stay home, don't sleep in. Come to VBT July 1st through the 5th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and you're going to have perhaps the greatest time of your whole summer, just playing, having a good time, and serving God and learning new things. And we have a lot in store. We're some of the younger men, younger or the older teens in charge. Stephen Altamari, Darnell Brown and Paul Rice are going to be kind of help leading that as well, along with hopefully we can get Brother Stahl in for to help with the teens there for part of the week. He can sit in there with Nathan. We had a setback this week. Jonathan and Emma Sigma will not be able to make it to our church for those 2 weeks this summer due to a family matter that they have. They have expressed they're greatly disappointed. They were really looking forward to it, but they can't possibly leave at this time. So, but the Lord is blessing our ranks. We have fill-in piano player already for two of the 3 weeks, and we have some others who are stepping up. So let us pray that God would just do a great work. Sometimes we get setbacks in life, but it's what do you do with a lemon when a lemon comes to you? Got to make what? Got to make lemonade. That's right. Add some sugar, squeeze that lemon. Let's make something good out of this. So the Lord turns trials into blessings. So come on back tonight for that message. Then Camp Calvary Summer Camp is coming up July 8th through the 12th. There are flyers on the back there. If you are going into grades 1st through 12th, I highly encourage you to come to camp with us this year. Save up some money. Help your parents out. Don't make them pay for it all. And come on out to camp, and you will be greatly blessed. Big Olympic, half Olympic size swimming pool, canoeing, pony rides, and for the teens, trail rides and other things. Just all kinds of fun things, games and outdoor gym, all the great things of camp. So come on out with us. They have a zip line. We'll be doing some BB guns and all those things as well. It's out in Lancaster. Farm country, so it's a nice area. Alright, any other announcements that need to be mentioned this morning? Alright, we do have two videos to show. Jonathan has those there. It's church work day yesterday, and then VBT brief. These are short, real short videos, so it'll only take a few minutes here. They're right on the desktop on the right hand side there. As we get ready. The 2 minute VBT video that's on the desktop as well. Here, just close that, Jonathan, and I'll show it to you. Okay, it's right here. That one there. I think that's it. So we're looking forward to another good year of VBT, so come on out with us July 1st through the 5th, teens and kids. Look at our great adult staff that we have each year. We're so thankful God provides the need. You could be one of those to help impact kids for Jesus Christ this year and help have some fun. So come on out, give us a hand with VBT. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. We're so thankful that God allows us to work and to make money each week, and or perhaps to have our retirement. Whatever the case is, we're thankful for that income that comes in. God says, give unto him of the first fruits, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And let us let God fill our barns with plenty as we give the first fruits to him. Let us bow together in prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our hymn book, hymn number 586. 586 in the Majesty hymn book. We are more than conquerors. Hymn number 586. Brother Darnell and I have been working hard this week to get ready. We sent out 150 letters to previous VBTers and previous Good News Clubbers. So we are working hard to get people here for VBT, as well as knocking on doors. 586 in the red hymn book there in front of you, 586. Let's all stand together as we sing, We Are More Than Conquerors. Before we dismiss our young people,
We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us so. The Christ who dwells within us is the greatest power we know. He will fight beside us though the enemy is great. Who can stand against us? He's the captain of our fate. So we will conquer, never fear, so let the battle rage. He has promised to be near unto the end of the age forever. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us so. The Christ who dwells within us is the greatest power we know. Then we will conquer, never fear, so let the battle rage. He has promised to be near unto the end of the age forever. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us so. The Christ who dwells within us is the greatest power we know.
Amen. You may be seated. We want to have all sixth grade and younger come on up here briefly, and we'll have you go back. Those sixth grade and younger, come on up, sit on the front row. All those sixth grade and younger, come on up. Before we dismiss you to youth church, might not have enough room for everybody, so we'll make room. Messiah, Samuel, how about you guys come back here? There you go. Make room for everybody. Okay. It's good to have. There's Tommy in the back, and there's Eunice. Welcome. Good to see you with us. Glad that you are back. And so, what can you do this summer when you get out of school to show that Jesus has conquered for us, that He is our conqueror, He is our King, He is so great? What can you do this summer for God? Anybody tell us? Messiah? Spread the Word of God. Good. We have an opportunity pretty soon. We'll go to the boardwalk and Walmart to tell people about Jesus. What else can you do in the summer for the Lord? Yes, Lydia? Very good. Invite them. Invite your friends out. Every year we have 5 to 10 people saved every year, every summer, just through the ministries, the outreach ministries. 5 to 10 more people that are saved from hell to burn forever in the lake of fire to go to heaven. Isn't that exciting? So you can help your friends come to the Lord. Last week, Zion, tell us what happened last week, Zion, with your friend Mira. You talked to her after school. Tell us that story just a little bit. If Jesus was a Jew, she didn't understand that, so she called me. Go ahead. They didn't hear that part. I just had to. Okay. And then what? So then we talked to her about the gospel. We read Psalm chapter 2 with her, and she kissed the Son of God by receiving Jesus as her Savior, and she got saved. So we're thankful. Now another person. So pray for Mira to come out to church. All right, you are dismissed at this time. Great job. Let's turn our Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Come on back tonight at 7 for a good time. Bring a food item with you. I don't think I mentioned that. Bring a food item with you. We'll have a cake, so dessert will be covered for tonight for the send-off for Brother Kenny and Sister Dawn and Kaylin. But we'll need some food items. So I know Carol is bringing chili, and we're going to have rice there. So bring a food item with you and to share tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock for the service, and then for the farewell afterward. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we are in the Word of God this morning. Proverbs is a great book because it helps. It's a book of teaching. It's a book of principles. It's a book of life-changing truths to change us from where the direction we're going that may be off from God, away from God, to get us back on to track. It's a great book for teaching and for wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 1, let us bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing it is to come together this morning to worship You. We thank You that You are our great God. You brought us through another week, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. We thank You for the Christ, Your Son, the Messiah, who came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. We thank You for the great victory that You have given to us. Lord, help us to walk in victory this week by applying the truths that we are going to learn this morning from Proverbs chapter 3. And we pray You'd help keep us awake this morning. Help us not to go to sleep. Help us not to get sidetracked. Help no one to go onto their phones. Help us to stay in tune to what you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just a reminder to our teenagers, please put your phone under the seat so it's not there to be a distraction. Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, we'll read these responsively. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Okay, we'll stop there. So here we see the father gives his son practical lessons in the way of wisdom. Each of the following exhortations is accompanied by something special. What is it accompanied with? Verses 1 through 12. What is each of them? Each of the instructions accompanied with? Evan? Okay, good. And what's the incentive, I guess you could say? Why should... Good. Every verse... Oh, we want to welcome all those that are viewing on the internet. We're glad that you've tuned in here with us. And we pray that you will be blessed by the message today. So every one of them is accompanied by a principle, that each principle is accompanied by a blessing, if we do it. It is a promise of blessing, because blessing always attends obedience. If we can just get that one principle this morning, blessing always attends obedience. If you want blessing in your life, if you want good things to happen, if you want God to take you where you're at now, you feel you're down in the valley, you want you out of the valley, well, you've got to get out of the valley by obeying God. And He will bring you out of the valley. And that's the promise from these. Every one of these verses has a blessing attached to each principle of obedience. So here we see, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So if we will, God as our Heavenly Father is giving us these instructions, and He's saying, hey, if you will just listen to me and heed what I'm saying to you, my child. How many had a real strong father figure when you were younger that told you right and wrong and they were involved in your life? Raise your hand. Okay? How many didn't have one that was that involved? Okay? All right? So some of us did, some of us didn't. Okay? Well, here, if you didn't have that, guess what? God wants to be that for you. God wants to be that father figure, the male figure in your life to help guide you, shape you, give you instruction, and help you get on the right track. Okay? That maybe your dad isn't saved, so he doesn't understand spiritual things. Well, here you have our Heavenly Father who wants to guide us in the right way. And so God is giving us some practical instructions here. He's saying, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The world is constantly trying to sell us every day with, oh, if you keep God's commandments, that's a boring life. Oh, you keep God's commandments and you're not going to have any fun. Well, guess what? Who does the world turn to when someone in their family dies of an overdose of drugs? Okay? They turn to the Christian. Who does the world turn to when their bad choices yield a heartbreaking calamity? They turn to the Christian. They turn to the Bible. They turn to someone who actually stands for principles. Okay, so the world may try to tell us that, oh, just watch these dirty TV shows, watch these dirty movies, and follow along. But what they're not telling us is that they don't even follow those things their whole life. You know, even they know there's a time where they need to turn off that trash that they're pumping out. Okay, so here we see God says, no, do the opposite. Don't follow the world.
Don't follow what the world says about my commandments. My commandments are not bad at all. 1 John addresses that very thing, what the world says. The world says, oh, God's commandments are grievous. Oh, they'll make you sad. Oh, they'll make you downhearted. Nope. John says, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous, but they are joyous. They'll make you happy. If we follow God's commands, they will add length of days, long life, and peace. Boy, isn't that what everyone wants? You know, everyone wants length of days. Oh, I want a longer life, long life, and peace. That literally, if we follow God's commands, they will bring us blessings and blessings and more blessings. So that's the first reason, okay, to follow God's instructions. Follow God's instructions. How do we do that? We talked about in Sunday school. Who can help us? Who is here in Sunday school that can help us? What should we do in the morning first thing? Pray. Good. And then what do you do when you get out of bed after you're done praying, after you're done giving the day to God? Then what do? Okay? But after you pray, you need to do what? You need to listen to whose instructions? God's instructions. Reading the Bible. Okay? So praying is our communication with Him, and that's really important. That's half the communication. But then the other part is God actually talking to us, you know. We said it before. How many would want a friend where all they did was talk to you, and then you start to say, okay, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, let me tell you about what's going on in my life. I just had this happen. I got to go. And they hang up on us. You know. How often would we talk to that friend and call them up? Every time we started to tell them something, they would hang up on us. You know? You'd say, that friend doesn't care about me. How do you think God feels when we may do one without the other, right? We talk, we pray, and then we don't listen to we don't read His Word. Okay, that's how He feels. He feels like, oh, my child, I love you. I want communion with you. I want to hear what you have to say. And I want you to hear what I have to say. But one side of the communication is only one-sided. Okay, so we've got to make it two-sided by going to His Word. Where are you reading currently? So important that we are reading through a book of the Bible currently. Where are you reading? Let me look. You know, no, it should be on the tip of our tongue. I'm reading in Proverbs. Hey, I'm reading in Isaiah. I'm reading in Jeremiah. I'm reading Nahum. And even if you don't understand everything you're reading, that's where you have to pray and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I want to understand this. Okay? And the Lord will give you that wisdom. Okay? So verse 3, we have another principle and another blessing. Okay? So what is the next command to follow? What's the next command to follow? Verse 3, what is it? Let mercy and truth forsake thee, or not forsake thee. So follow mercy and truth. Okay, these are two very important ingredients. Truth is the teachings of God's Word. I was reading one article this week, and the belt of truth. What does a belt do? Literally keeps up everything together. You know, if you don't have a belt, you're in trouble if you're a man, you know. Especially if you're wearing a size of pants that may be a little bit looser or whatever. Okay, well, that's exactly what in the army, in the Roman army back then, as Paul is describing, that belt kept everything together in their armor. Well, that's literally what God's Word does to us as Christians. If we don't have the truth of God's Word, everything else in our armor is going to fall apart. The world is struggling with that every day. They say, oh, we've got to be lenient on these people, even though it's sin. You know, oh, we've got to be lenient on the homosexual. We've got to be lenient on, let them just live their life, and we've got to congratulate and applaud them. God's Word says, wait, that lifestyle, those sinful choices, that's a pattern. Romans 1 says that it's a pattern of depravity, and it's something that is wrong, and it will destroy them if they continue in that pattern. It's only going to get worse and worse for them. It says in Romans 1:23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And also, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. So here we see, is that something you want your child to go into? You know, the world is applauding and say, oh, we have an alternative lifestyle that they can explore. And they're trying to now force, here in the state of New Jersey, I was just talking to one of the students who was in school, and they were saying their school, Egg Harbor Township High School, was making the students take an LGBT class as an elective. And they're trying to push all the high school students into taking this class that will help them explore, and all these things that will actually expose them to more and more depravity of sin and just horrible lifestyles, horrible things that their young minds don't need. And us as adults, we don't need either, okay? We need to stay away from that stuff and exploring that stuff. But here, they say, well, it's an elective. Well, the only problem is they don't have any other electives. Okay, if you don't have any other electives, then the kids have to take that quote-unquote elective. And so the parents were in an uproar. They said, listen, we don't want our kids taking that class, and we don't buy into this stuff, and we're not going to let you force this on us. So literally they had to take it back to the New Jersey State Board. But this is what is coming down the line from this world that is run by the devil himself, and he's trying to push it down our throats as Christians, and we've got to stand up and say, no. No, that's foolishness. That is sin. Sin leads to destruction. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to follow truth, the truth of God's Word. I'm going to rest in the truth of God's Word. Wait, God says it's wrong, and here's why. God says in 1 Corinthians 6:9 that some in the church at Corinth were effeminate, were abusers of themselves with mankind. But then God washed them, and He saved them out of that sinful lifestyle, saved them out of that, and now they are saved, and they're in healthy relationships. They are seeking God's will for their life. The world does not want you to know about the many Christians, or the many people who get out of that lifestyle. I just read one this week on Twitter. There was a young man who said, praise God, I used to be a homosexual, but then I found Christ. I was at the bottom of the barrel. I was low in my life. I realized my sinful choices and what they were doing to me, and someone shared Christ with me, that Jesus could save me out of that lifestyle and save me out of these sinful choices and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. And he said, I trusted Christ. And he said, praise God, I am now out of that lifestyle, and I am now seeking Jesus. And he said, and a bunch of Christians were on there encouraging him and saying, keep it up, you're doing the right thing, and praise God, and all these things. And then you had some people that were hateful and saying, some things disparaging to him. But you know what? It's the truth that every day people are finding Christ in that lifestyle, and they're getting out of it. And that's what the world doesn't want you to know. The world wants you to think, oh, they were born that way, and it's not a product of decisions, but just that's the way they are. Well, guess what? That's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. The devil is trying to cover his tracks. They weren't born that way. That was a product of their decision-making that led them that way, okay? That they made sinful choice after sinful choice, and rebellion against God. Okay, but now, praise God, many are getting out and they're finding Christ. And so we need to win them and hold on to the truth and love mercy at the same time. See, we need to love mercy. Why? Because we've been forgiven of a great debt. We've been forgiven of all of our sins. And so just as much as we're holding on to truth, we're also holding on to mercy with the other arm and saying, how much I love God's forgiveness. And how much I want to extend God's forgiveness to someone else. And how much I want to forgive someone else. And now there comes consequences. You know, if you wrong someone and you wrong them 10 times in the same area, they'll still forgive you if they're a Christian, but they're going to handle you differently. Okay? There's consequences to sin. Okay? And trust is broken. Trust is broken. If trust is broken repeatedly, then you're going to have to build back that reputation. Okay, and you're going to have to build it back through a pattern of right choices again. Okay, so we love mercy and forgiveness, and we should always extend it. However, we should always make sure that the person, we put safeguards around the person, around our heart, guard us as well. But we should love to forgive others. We should love forgiveness because God forgave us. And so we should help others, but we should hate sin with a passion. So here we see, all right, so what does God promise? If we fault, let not mercy and truth forsake us. If we bind them upon our neck, if we write them upon the table of our heart, literally every day we're in the Word of God. We're saying, Lord, teach me. Teach me your truth today. Teach me your truth. So we're getting taught what's going to happen to us as a blessing. What's the promise here? What's the blessing? Verse 4. Find favor. Wow, how many want people to like us? How many want people to like you? How many want to be hated by everybody? Okay. You want to just be a recluse? You want to be all by yourself? Okay. No, nobody wants that. We all want to be liked. We want favor with people. And, well, here, not only will we have favor, but we'll have good understanding. You're going to be able to understand things that the average person can't understand. Why? Because of God's discernment. He's going to teach you through the principles of His Word. You'll be head and shoulders, start to get head and shoulders above the crowd, not in a proud way, but because you're able to apply the principles and you're doing that in your own life. And so you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That literally, people are going to come to you for help. People are going to want your input in their life. And they are going to look to you to help them in life, in the sight of God and man. What a great blessing. We can help people more the more wisdom that we appropriate in our life. The more knowledge we get from the Word of God and then apply it by wisdom. Verse 5, let's read these two verses together. See if you can do it without looking, okay? Okay, I know you can. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So what are these verses saying? What's the, once again, a promise, or a condition, principle, followed by a blessing. So what do we have to do? Trust in the Lord. Some of your heart, right? Just with the morning, you know, trust the Lord with the morning. Afternoon, you do your own thing, right? Then evening you can come back to God. Okay? Now you do that, you're going to have havoc wreaked on the afternoon. You're going to have problems that are going to come because of our bad choices in the afternoon. Okay, we can't segment our day, say, well, I'll follow God in the morning, afternoon, no, evening, yes. Sunday, I'll follow God. Monday, Tuesday, follow myself and my heart. What does God say about our heart? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is what? deceitful, and desperately what? Wicked. Oh, come on. Don't you know every good princess follows her heart? That's what the world says, right? Pastor Logan might have heard that song this week. Is that good advice or bad advice? Follow your heart. That's bad advice. The heart is our emotional, the emotional part of us. And guess what? Our emotions aren't always on track with the Word of God, are they? No. Our emotions, right now, maybe your emotions are following the Bible and they're, oh, praise the Lord. Wow, I needed this today. Oh, I feel good, you know? And your emotions right now are on track with God. Guess what? Tomorrow, when you hear someone and they're talking dirty and your emotions are going the other way, you know, or talking bad, or they're taking God's name in vain, and you're tempted to take God's name in vain, guess what? Your heart is now in a totally different place. Your emotions are telling you to do something which is evil in God's sight. So can we go on our emotions through life? No. What do we need to go on? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice who's in charge of your heart. The Lord. Okay, so don't trust in yourself. The Disney songs say trust in yourself and follow your heart. No, God says don't trust in yourself. Don't follow your heart. Trust in me and I will take care of you. Trust in my words and I will lead you and guide you in life. And guess what? It won't change from today or tomorrow. You know, that's the bad thing about our emotions. They're going to keep changing and keep going from this way and that way, the other way. And that's why so many Christians who are immature and who are not reading the Word of God and praying, their life looks like this. Like a roller coaster you would never even want to go on because it's too steep. You know, it would put Six Flags roller coasters out of business. Because it would be, it would throw riders off. Why? Because what are they doing? Why is their life constantly like this? Sunday, it's great. You know, they're on the mountaintop. But then, boy, Monday, Tuesday, poo. Then they get back to church Wednesday, and finally they get back up a little bit. Thursday, Friday, you know. Saturday, they're dragging. They get themselves, oh, I got to read my Bible Saturday night. And then Sunday, they're back up because it's church. You know, that kind of roller coaster Christianity is not the principles of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, our own understanding is very deceitful and changeable. But God's Word, which is truth, will establish us, will hold us, will make us strong. Right? That's what we need. We need the strength of God in our life. And so that's why these verses are favorite verses the world over, because they kind of encapsulate what the Christian life is. The Christian life is all about trusting in God every day of our life. Reading His Word, praying, walking with Him, so that then He can lead us through the trials and tribulations of life. Lead us through the ups and downs of life. And that, guess what? They won't be like this anymore. They won't be the Six Flags roller coaster that throws you off. And literally the Six Flags will ban because it's too dangerous. It'll be like a nice, yes, there will still be valleys and mountains, but they won't be the big ones. They'll be just the rolling, gentle ones. Why? Because we're stayed on the rock. We are anchored in Christ. We have an anchor, as it says, taken right from Hebrews 4:12. Our anchor is Jesus. Hebrews 6, verse 19. Our anchor is Jesus, and He's keeping us on a stable and consistent, mature Christian life. That's because we're applying Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So we see if we trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and if we don't lean to our own understanding, we don't let our heart lead our life. We don't let our flesh lead our life. We say, no flesh. We're not going to McDonald's right now. We're going to wait till we get home because I've got a good meal that I can get ready in a half hour and you can wait a little bit. Okay, flesh. We got to tell our flesh that. We need to be in charge of our flesh. No, I'm not going to go around those people smelling like cigarette smoke because I used to do that in my Christian life and I'm not going there anymore and I'm going to tell my body not to do that and we've got to be in charge. No, I'm not going to go around those guys over there that are cursing up a storm, or I'm going to speak up when they curse and say, hey, you know, listen, I'd appreciate if you didn't do that here. This is a Christian establishment. This is a Christian, I'm a Christian, and God is grieved, and he doesn't want to hear that. All you have to do is speak up for God. And you know what? The world takes notice. The world all of a sudden says, you're right, okay. And they clean up their act. You know, they're waiting for us as Christians to set the tone, to set the leadership, because everyone else is following their own heart. And their constant roller coaster is killing them in life. They're waiting for someone who's stable to come along. And that's where you and I come in. We need to show them Christ and that God has a better way to live, a life than that way that the devil tells them to live. And so we can help lead many to God if we will just, in all our ways, acknowledge Him. Sure enough, the blessing attached is what? What is the blessing attached to this verse? If we trust the Lord with all our heart, if we don't lean to our own understanding, if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, what's going to happen to us? He will direct your path. Wow. How many had that happen to them this past week or month? You just could see God's hand in every little thing. Okay? Yeah. That's what happens. You know, God takes... I was just talking with Dawn and Kenny yesterday. They were talking about, you know, they said, Lord, you know, we sense that you're leading us back home. We sense you're leading us back to the Midwest. We see different things happening. And they just followed the procedure. They followed the Lord. And sure enough, the Lord had their house sell, you know. And then, sure enough, they had just the right place in line with the next where they're going to live, that house. And everything is falling right into place. Why is it falling right into place? Because they're trusting the Lord with all their heart. They're seeking God in all of this, and God is lining it up moment by moment. And that's the way we need to live. We need to live moment by moment, trusting in the Lord, and sure enough, He will direct our paths into His perfect will. Okay? You say, I need more money, or I can't even meet my needs anymore. I don't have enough food on the table, or I don't have enough clothes. Follow the Lord. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, you know I have this need. The Lord may give you wisdom to get a part-time job. The Lord may give you wisdom to do something else. The Lord may give you wisdom to, and He knows our needs. Okay, or He will say, you know what, my child, be content with such things as you have. Okay, the Lord will direct our paths. He knows which way we need to go. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Okay, what's the principle here? Don't think you know how to live life. Even if you're a mature Christian, how many have been saved for at least 10 years? Raise your hand if you've been saved 10 years. Okay, how many have been saved 20 years? Raise your hand. Okay, surely now, all those who are 10 and 20 year Christians, we can coast the rest of our life, right? We're mature, you know, or we're almost there to be mature as Christians. So now we can follow, you know, our own track record and coast, right? No. Notice the principle here. Be not wise in thine own eyes. God doesn't say be not wise in thine own eyes, except those that have been saved for 5, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. No. There's no conditions here. He says, I don't care how long you've been my child, you need to not be wise in your own eyes. You need to continue to fear me and depart from evil. We need to hate evil just like God hates evil. How much reconciliation, or how much communion is there between Christ and the devil? None whatsoever. Completely separate. God is totally pure. Christ is totally pure. The devil is completely evil. They have no commonality at all. So perhaps you've seen this symbol, maybe on a car, or a surfboard. My marker's going out. I need more markers here. Okay. It looks like this. And this side is all shaded in over here, except for one. Oh, wrong way. This side is shaded in, except for one light dot over here. Okay, how many have ever seen that symbol? That's a really bad, poor drawing. Yeah. But what is that symbol called? Yin-yang symbol. Okay, what is it? What is it supposed to mean? It's kind of the whole Star Wars type of philosophy. There's evil and then there's good, but evil has a little bit of good in it, and good has a little bit of evil in it, and we all just need to try to cope and commune with that evil in there. That is what that symbol means. It comes from the East. It comes from India and that area, and it's a pagan symbol that is totally against the principles of the Word of God. There is no communion of light with darkness. Here it says, yeah, light has a little bit of communion with darkness, and darkness has a little bit of communion with light. So if you're around some really bad people, even really bad people have some good in them. So follow, you know, the good they have. No, God says that what communion hath light with darkness? Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, is an important principle that we need to be reminded of, because the world is trying to shove this down our throats every day to the point where we sometimes start believing this stuff. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we read verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Idolatry is not just worshiping a stone or a statue. Idolatry is worshiping anything. A sports team, a hobby, a time spent out. And I'm not going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to go to this show. Or I'm going to sleep in my bed. My bed now becomes my idol. Sleep becomes my idol instead of God. Okay? So idolatry is really anything we put before God. So don't think it's just relegated to other nations. It is not. It is alive and well here in America to the point of destroying us. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice of idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than they? And I'm trying to find the other verse where it talks about what communion hath Christ with Belial. Yes, maybe it is in chapter 6. Okay. If anyone has, there we go. We'll find it here. But these verses that come to mind, they should come to mind when we live our life. We should have verses come into our mind. Oh, wow, I remember the verse talking about that. And we should then go back, look it up, study it. And God wants us to learn these verses, apply them to our lives, let them be the truth which literally holds up our life. And love, mercy, and truth. So He will direct our paths. And then number 4, as we see in Proverbs 6, Proverbs 3, did anybody find it yet? Not yet, okay. Thank you. 2 Corinthians. All right. Is it chapter 10? 2 Corinthians 14. Okay. I knew it was somewhere. 2 Corinthians 14. Oh, wait. There is no chapter 14. 10:14. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:14. 6:14. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Okay, that kind of tears apart the whole yin-yang, the whole Star Wars premise, the whole what the world is constantly trying to tell us. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So we see a great blessing here. God will be our close heavenly Father. He will literally take care of our every need if we will just come out of the world. Come out. Don't love the things of this world. Don't love the sins of this world. Say, you know what? I hate that stuff. I used to do that before I was saved, but I hate it now. And let me tell you, I love Jesus too much to do that. I can't come around you because you're doing that. And you know what? God will give us good friends if we will know to the ones that are trying to steer us bad. You know, and He will give us good friends that we need to acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our path. In verse 7, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Proverbs 3:7. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Okay, so if we depart from evil and fear the Lord, what's the blessing attached? Do you realize that God can heal our bodies? That God can restore some kind of health to our body that's been ravaged by ill health? You realize that God is still Jehovah Rapha, as it says over here, the Lord, our healer? You say, Pastor, I have this condition I'm going to have for the rest of my life. You may, but guess what? God can even take that condition and minimize it in your body. You know, He can make it to be less and less effective on your body, where it doesn't ravage you like it ravaged before. Some of us may deal with inflammation or arthritis or some other types of things. Well, God can even help that. Help that. Yes, our body does get older, and yes, it is on the decline, and yes, we are going to our soon long home. But He can even take our bodies and give us a measure of strength. And He can put the disease in a lesser place if we will just live for Him. You say, how do you know? Well, I know. When I'm living for God, guess what? My body feels a little better. You know, why? Because, and if I'm in sin, you know, guess what? I have to confess that sin. Okay, so God can take, God can take that disease and lessen it and make it not as inflamed if we will just put Him first. Now, it's not always the case, but this is a general principle. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Okay? How many Christians do we know that are in their 90s still? Still living, yes, with health problems, but they're still living. Whereas the ones that were involved in sin, you know, and they ravaged their body with sin, they're not alive anymore. Well, why is that? Because they're putting God first. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. We close this service today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service. Perhaps you're here today, you say, Pastor, you know, I don't know for sure if I were to die today. If I know Jesus Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior, but I would like to repent of my sins and believe on Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I would like to be saved. as a Christian. You say, Pastor, I'm already saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. But I realize how important this morning the Word of God and its truth is to my life. That literally there are so many blessings attached. And I want to do that. I want to put on the Word of God each day. I want to decide today that I'm going to read my Bible every day this week and pray and commune with God so that He can start adding more of His blessings in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Amen, amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing it is to be reminded of Your Word and its great truths. We pray You'd help us, Lord, to trust in You with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge You, that You shall direct our paths. Lord, help us to do that. We pray that You would give us Your great wisdom to apply Your Word as we read it this week. We pray that we would depend on You in prayer, pray to You all through the day, confessing our sin, praising You, thanking You for what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn our hymn book as we close this service. One last invitation hymn. Would you come? 611 in the hymn book. Take my life and let it be. Would you come and kneel at the altar and just give over your heart and life to the Lord? Say, this week I'm dedicating my life to Christ. I'm not going to let the devil or sin have any dominion over me. I'm going to yield my life to Christ. Would you come? Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Maybe you want to pray for someone who's on your prayer list. Would you come and pray for them? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Would you come as we sing? Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. My feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. With our heads bowed, let's sing that fourth verse and make this a prayer to God. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my soul, delect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Every power as Thou shalt choose. Let's have the pianist play through as we pray to the Lord. Please stay with us for a few minutes as we go through our VBT, just a quick planning meeting for VBT. So if you could please stay with us. Let us close in prayer at this time. And I'm going to ask Brother Wells, would you close this prayer?
God, Lord, we thank you for the blessing we received tonight today. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that there is really only one way to conduct our lives. And if we do it any other way, or put any of our own understanding into it, we're going to wind up in trouble. We just pray, Lord, that you finish work in the Lord Jesus Christ as it has cleansed us from our sins. We are heaven bound. Thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made. And we know that there's really nothing that we have done for ourselves to accomplish any of it. We just ask, dear God, that you would take control, not just of our individual lives and us individually, but together in this ministry here, because we know that right now we are in the end time. No question. The prophecy which you have included in your word is unfolding upon us. Even as we look at the newspapers, we're seeing it coming back to us from the pages of the scriptures. Pray, Lord, you would continue to keep us in us, God, keep us focused on you, and you need to stay the main source of our power and our comfort, and just for living day by day.